Yeah. You know, I always tell people, without bad, you can't have good. Otherwise, everything would just be level. So his 5 minutes probably be more beneficial than my 15 or 20 or whatever. But actually, when Pastor was talking about generations and stuff this morning, it got me thinking. And I have a lot of my time in the military was with training and making sure people were trained up and things like that. You know, that's kind of on my heart. And as Brother Joe was saying this morning, you know, we're supposed to be soldiers in the Lord's army. Amen. Which there's training in here also. And let's pray real quick and then we'll get into the message. Father, thank you, Lord, for just a great day at church, Lord, the fellowship, the message this morning, Lord, the songs, God, the joy that you put in our hearts. Father, the changed lives that are in this building, and Lord, it's a blessing to hear family, you know, kids singing, Lord, for you.
Thank you.
You know, as a parent, you try to do well, try to lead a good example, and it just brings joy to our heart, Lord, to for all the things we mess up and that still be able to use us to influence our kids in the right way, and I thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us as we look in it now. Help me to think clearly. Listen, this was all just a few thoughts until about 5 minutes ago, so just allow me to present it in a way that's easy to understand and help the folks have submissive hearts, Lord,
Amen.
Have minds that are open to receiving your word, and Lord, that we'd all go out of this building today wanting to please you more with a stronger desire and ready to fight, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so this... this is actually an interesting message because I got this message about maybe 5 years ago. I was teaching fifth and sixth grade Sunday school, and I got teaching on this, and then it just kind of went off, and I started yelling, or not yelling because it's not the style I preach in, but I started getting more on the helpers in the Sunday school than the kids, so they probably like that. Well, let's go to Matthew 14. It's very familiar passage, but we'll see if there's, like I said, this just jumped out at me while I was trying to teach it to kids. Something hit me, and actually what I was doing, we were going through the Gospels and showing how if you take different stories or different accounts from the Gospels, especially these ones that are in all four, and you put them together, you get a whole picture of it, rather than just little snippets. So that's what we were doing, and I guess as that was happening, I saw some things Lord showed me. So let's look in Matthew 14, verse 14. Or we'll start at 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and break and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were above 5,000 men beside women and children. All right, so let's look at Mark 6 and verse 34. And it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into their villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass and so forth. And just for time, I think it's Luke 9. And we'll start in verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there were taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And then look at John 6. And we'll start in verse 5 here. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do.
Yes, it is.
Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there is much grass in this place. So the men sat down, and the number about 5,000. And Jesus, took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with them, with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. All right, so there's all the accounts. And there was, like I said, when I was teaching, something really jumped out at me. And it's in every one of them. It may not be in John. I don't see it in John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a phrase in there. And again, this is going back to the generations and training and looking out for those that come behind us. Well, let's see. I'm going to look in the Luke passage here. In Luke 12, and if you go in Mark and Matthew, you could find it in there too. Luke 12, And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away. And just think about that. They were there. The day was far spent, so they've been there for a long time. And Jesus is healing, teaching, talking, instructing. You know, everything that Jesus is doing to these 5,000 men, plus women and children. So they're having all-day church fest. And the 12 come and say, hey, that's enough church today. You know, the established, those ones that have been with Jesus for a while and were individually one-on-one worked with them. And that really stuck out to me, as I guess now I'm older and I'm more established, not where I should be, but then newer Christians. But how many times do us as older Christians look at what's going on and you got these guys in the front row and they're not moving? And we're like, Pastor, look up the clock. It's time to go. You know, we're trying to rush it. We have other things to do. But the young guys, the young gals are just sitting here soaking it all in. And that us as, you know, old fuddy-duddies are just, you know, that's enough church. I do all three services a week, but I want to make sure they're an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes tops. And then it's time to go home and do what I want to do. So the, and again, it's the 12. I mean, we're still new here, but you guys right now could think of, you know, the 12, if you want to call them pillars or mainstays or whatever, that have just been around here forever. And what if they, you know, when pastor starts getting going or a song gets going and he has them sing it 3 or 4 or 5 or 15 times and they get up and say, all right, you know, pastor, why are you doing this? That's enough. We've done this. We've said this. They've sang it. We yelled. You shouted. Raised your hands. Eric took a lap. Now it's time we go. That's what we do now. You know, why do you keep doing this? You're just
it's keeping us here.
Good. But seriously, that's how it could be. And us old people really have to guard it because, number one, these 5,000 were getting instructed right from Christ. And, you know, the young folks here are getting instructed by the man of God here who's been given a message from God to give to all of us. And if we don't watch it, I mean, what kind of, and it doesn't have it, and I'm not into the psychology and all that stuff, though not saying that nothing matters and as far as that stuff goes, but they knew who the 12 were. And for Logan, Devin, Austin, Carl, if they see, you know, Ken and John Tweed get up here and kind of lift Pastor one in each arm and bring him to the office, and then Ken sticks his head out, all right, we're done, go. What are the younger guys going to think? I mean, how important is it going to be? What? Why did I say Ken? Yeah, I don't know. I know I know I can outrun Ken. So, but seriously, getting back to it, the young folks, they need the old established people to still be working.
Amen.
You know, exactly. We need excitement. Amen. They need to see when they go out with Eric on a Saturday night, if you can't get there every Saturday night, I'm not going to get there every Saturday night, but I'll get out there some Saturday nights. And if I just look around, you know, if Jim hits a Saturday night, Derek hits a Saturday night, you know, Eddie hits a Saturday night, you know, Mike hits a Saturday night, you know, we could go through it and cover 2 months without even repeating.
Amen.
And then that's us older guys just being there, and then these younger guys get up there, they see us, they see that it's important to us. You know, when, it's funny because one day early in my Christian life, we were talking and somebody asked, you know, who's your favorite preacher? And I was just young enough and dumb enough to say, well, whoever's preaching at the time, and like mean it. And then older people started making fun of that statement. And I mean, I could care less about a lot of stuff. So it didn't bother me, but I made a mental note of it. It's like, what do you mean? There's certain guys you want to hear and certain guys you don't want to hear? You guys have been telling me that it's the Bible that matters.
Amen.
So why does it matter if it's Pastor Ryman or, you know, a flunky like
Jay?
But seriously, I mean, the truth is the truth. If we believe that it's the Bible, it could be Alex, it could be Ken, it could be Pastor Ryman, it could be Logan. I mean, if Logan gets up here, we ought to listen to him as intently as Pastor Ryman. And him being up here should see the old men and the old women doing that.
Amen.
If he knows I take notes when Pastor Ryman's preaching, he ought to see me taking notes when he's preaching.
Amen.
Otherwise, what does that tell him that I think of him? What does that tell him that I think of Christianity? You know, these 12 people, it kind of really, it's funny too, because as I said, the Lord gave me this while I was teaching the 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class. So, like I said, I was going off more on the adults than the kids, and I don't even know, the kids probably didn't even understand it. But we have to lay a good groundwork. You know, it's said that the younger generation is never going to rise above the generation that is right before it. So what have we let slip? You know, if Pastor Ryman or these guys in front of him were up here, and then we've let things slip to here, then these guys aren't going to get any higher than here, whereas just, you know, 150 years ago is up here. We got to hold the bar up.
Amen.
We can't, you know, act like it's, you know, just something we have to do. You know, we've been here. It's been a long day. You know, I work today. I have to go to work tomorrow. Well, shut up and stay in church. Who cares? You know, if you have to wake up at 4, you've done stupider things when you had to wake up at 4 the night before. So, you know, put on your big boy pants, big girl skirt, whatever, and just do it, you know. So, and then one of the other things, let me find it here. In John was interesting. Yeah, not too big. Great, I just thought of what could have been thought of there. Hopefully, anyway. All right. The more I talk, the worse it gets. I've learned that. So John, going back to John chapter 6, in verse 6, and the thing to remember is the Lord uses men, he uses women, but he doesn't have to use you. If he chooses to use you or let you get into it or be a part of it, that's an honor and that's a blessing. And that's something that you could do for him. And you know, a long time ago, I told my son that, you know, I know when I'm going to quit walking. I know exactly when I'm going to quit following God. It's as soon as I'm done paying him back. That's not going to happen. I can't pay him back for what he's done for me. So, you know, everything we get, it's an opportunity, and we need to look at it this way. And I think that's what he's telling Philip here in chapter 6, verse 5 of John, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He's like, hey, Philip, you know, join in. What do you think? You know, get your spiritual hat on. What do you think we can do here? And Philip gives him the carnal answer, which, you know, we do that. And sometimes, you know, if you go pick up people, you got to buy gas. That's carnal. But the idea is that he's asking Philip. He's engaging Philip. He didn't have to mention Philip at all. He could have just snapped his finger. All right, everybody have him sit down. We're going to do this. And then not to mention the young lad, you know, who he used the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. But, you know, it's funny because in the story, what if that lad saw the disciples doing that, and as soon as he sees them all, and maybe he could read their lips or they're talking loud, he just turns around and starts walking. It's like, oh, they're going to send us home. And he leaves with the bread and fishes that Jesus was going to use to feed them. You know, now obviously Jesus could do whatever and, you know, snap a bag of bread into somebody else's hand, but those older people could have messed up that young kid. Amen. And now instead of the Bible having him as a record, we don't know his name, but, I mean, this kid's got to be preached about thousands of times a year throughout the churches.
That's right.
But he stayed there. But what if those disciples pushed him away?
Amen.
And I've seen older Christians push younger Christians away.
Yeah,
and some of it is just with our apathy. It might not be, you know, Logan, you talk every stinking time I see you in church, and then him get mad and leave. It might not be that. He might just notice that when pastor says, hey, grab tracks when you're on your way out, he just might notice me every time I walk by and not grab anything. You know, and all of us not grab anything. So as older people, we got to watch what we're doing. Amen. The younger people are watching us.
Amen.
And the thing is, whether we like it or not, you know, I could tell Devin, hey, Devin, I've heard some idiots do this. Hey, I'm not really doing right, so don't follow me. Follow Joe. Follow Eric. Just don't follow. That's still giving him not a legitimate out, but you're still showing him that it's not that important to follow Christ. So us older people really have to step it up. And as it's been said lately, I mean, there's a fight here. You know, we go through 7 pillars. One of the pillars is victory. We all need victory. We all, and one of the things that was said the other Friday, what victory was preached about is to get victory, there's something very important you have to realize. You have to realize you're in a fight.
Amen.
If you don't know that you're in a fight, there is no victory. You don't know. You're just, you know, that stupid buoy or whatever, just bobbing up and down. You don't know anything that's going on. You have to know there's a fight. And old people, the fight is harder probably for these young people than us. They have everything we had except that, you know, the disposal, just pushing a button. And they get anything we had to sneak around and plan for, they could just push a button and get. So we need to step up our games, and we need to be available.
Amen.
We need to, you know, take these guys, Devin, Austin, Logan. You know, you want a disciple? Tuesday nights, let me know. I'm available. You know, to the girls, you know, Esther, you know, somebody go let Esther know or my daughter know or whatever.
Amen.
I'm here for you.
Amen.
If you need to know, if you need an example, I'll be here for you. I'll talk with teach you the Bible as well as I know it. I've heard that it makes an impression. For me, it made an impression. I was the first one saved. It was people in the church just allowing me to hang out. One of the guy that led me to the Lord taking the time every Monday night to disciple me, to get me established.
Amen.
Without that, if you're going to be one of these 12, just say, hey, Jesus, it's been a long day. Let's shut it down. Pastor Ryman, it's been a long day. I mean, did we really have to do, we were fellowship, and did we have to do church again? It's been a long day. Why don't we just close it up? You know, we could come back, maybe pray, sing, do something happy, but do we have to preach? You know, old people just, it's time, you know. It's time to stop making excuses.
That's right.
And the dumbest thing that I've heard old people say is, I've done my time.
Yeah.
If you're still alive, your enlistment is still active.
Right.
You're not done until you're dead.
Right.
So, you know, older folks, I don't want this to make you mad, but I hope it stirs you up.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things Jesus said was, I'm not going to be able to find it now. I think in all of them, it talked about him being moved with compassion. You know, if we're following Christ, do we have that? You know, if you're moved with compassion for your Christian walk and for this Christian life, you're not doing it out of obligation. You're doing it because, you know, you're showing up for the buses because you know there's kids that aren't going to get here without a bus captain. You know, if you're doing Seven Pillars, if you're running downtown to grab anybody that needs help, you're doing it because, you know, now I think word is getting around town, but they didn't even know there's something here for them. You know, we have to go out of our box.
Amen.
You know, this is, and again, being in the military, and Michael Shane might remember it, but in a teen camp, the way I look at the Christian life is this isn't the war. This is training.
That's right.
You know, the war is out there.
Right.
And just like in the military, you come apart from the war, you come apart from what you do day to day, you get together, you train up, you increase morale, and then you go out to the war and you
That's
fight
right.
with each other.
Amen.
And you guys know, ask Brother Jim, he'll tell you the same thing. You know, and that's what you do. You do exercises to sharpen your skills.
Amen.
That's what we should be doing here. That's why fellowship is so important.
Yeah.
And again, old people invite the young. Don't expect the young people to invite you guys. You know, they're looking for help. They really are. I know I was. People, for the most part, are the same. These guys aren't worse than we were. The problem might be we're not as available as the other people because we do the, you know, side note, but as an illustration, I go to Brooke and Jordan's martial arts classes, and I watch them. And I look over, and every stinking parent has a stupid phone in their hand.
Yeah.
Their kids are learning how to defend themselves, and the parents have the phones. No wonder the kids have the phones. And sometimes I could get guilty of that, too. But if we're doing these things, that's what they're going to pick up on.
Amen.
And again, old people, we got to care. Jesus had compassion. He was moved with compassion. They have to see us move with compassion. They have to see us willing to go out of our way for people, go out of our way for each other in here, but also for the lost people. Because if we won't, why are they going to? Why is it just going to come out of nowhere and occur to them that they should do these things if everybody they see that they think is doing well doesn't bother? They have to know we read every day.
Amen.
And they have to know that if I missed a day, I was wrong for missing a day.
Amen.
Not sugarcoat it with, I got too busy. I had to go into work. Oh, I got stuck in traffic. You know, the things, they shouldn't have to do anything we shouldn't have to do.
Amen.
So if you're expecting them to do stuff, then pick it up yourselves.
Amen.
And yeah, just something to consider.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord put it back in.